Yeah.
Hey, my name is Jared Whitaker. I'm an agronomist for the University of Georgia. Robert talked about variety selection. I think that's something folks in Georgia are going to have to learn. Variety situation in Georgia. We're a one variety state. 555's had more than 80% of the acreage for years now. But we're going to lose that variety with EPA's getting rid of the single BT gene cotton varieties. We're going to have about 30% of the 2009 supply for 2010, and we won't have any after that. So that presents that situation. We're going to have over 500,000 acres of cotton in a new variety, which is new for us. Because of this, companies are creating new varieties and commercializing new varieties quickly. I think that's a good thing. We need new varieties, and we've got to find something that fits for us. But with them coming so fast, our experience is often limited. We often don't have multi-year data. One of the things about 555, it worked over multiple environments. It worked early, it worked late. It'd do well dry land, it'd do well irrigated. When we have limited data, we can't make as good assumptions on these new varieties. But from 2009, we had an extremely wet year and a good growing year. We're still doing it, we still hadn't picked it all, but it's been a good year. These varieties, a lot of the new varieties perform extremely well. But what happens when we have a traditional Georgia summer? We're going to have stress, we have sandy soils, we have episodic drought. So what are we going to do when what kind of variety can we plant on these dryland acres? For variety selection, Robert talked about them. We have a lot of tools. Our official variety trials are good. They give a good picture of the potential of these new varieties. We've got a lot of on-farm variety trials that give a little more of a real-world image. There's a lot of company data out there. One of the most important things is grower experience, but some of that's limited now. So what are some of the other things we can use with this limited amount of time we have from when we hear about a variety and when it's available for farmers to grow it? So what we did here is we wanted to see if plant mapping could give us another tool for variety selection. What could it do for us? We wanted to see what differences are there between the new varieties as far as plant growth, bowl distribution. How different are they from 555? And how that may affect how we grow varieties, how we manage them, where we put them. What we looked at five varieties. You can see them listed here. I guess I can use my mouse. You can see the varieties and how they performed in our 2009 OVT results. They're ranked, but that's just for our enjoyment. Those of these were right there in the top. We looked at 555, that's our standby. Delta Pine 0935, Phytogen 375, Stumble 5458, and Fibermax 1740. What we did is we went into some county agent large plot strip trials. And we went into four dry land and one irrigated trial. You can see where they were across the belt. These were typical large plot trials, multiple varieties, all treated the same, and most of the decisions were made by that grower and that agent in that county. For the plant mapping, we went into each individual variety and looked at 30 foot of one row. It was just one variety, one plot per location. We looked at the number of plants, plant height, main stem nodes, bulb production. And what I mean by bulb production, just so we're on the same page here, this is a schematic here. If there was a bowl here, it was on main stem node 6, fruit in position 1. When we looked at the data, since we didn't have replications within our location, we used locations as reps. For bowl distribution, we broke bowl production into zones, and we broke those zones up by LSDs. And we also compared these new varieties with 555 with a Dunnett's procedure. This is plant height. You can see there are some differences here. It's not surprising that 555 is among the tallest. Some of these other varieties are relatively tall, and there were some differences with 5458 and 1740. As far as the total number of main stem nodes, again, 555 had the most main stem nodes. The other varieties were similar. It had anywhere from a little less than 4 and a little more than 5 main stem nodes per plant compared to the new varieties. This is total bowl production. This is open and green bowls. We counted all the bowls. Some of them were open, ready to pick, and some of them were green. Between the varieties, they were pretty similar. We had about 300,000 bowls per acre produced. When we looked at percent open bowl, this may give us an indicator of maturity. It's not surprising that 555 was the lowest, 81%. Some of these were were a little more, had a higher percentage of open bowls, the highest being 0935. It's about a 15% difference in open bowls. That's a pretty big difference in maturity, even for Georgia. As far as the bowl distribution, we grouped the open and green bowls. You probably think, well, why would you do that? You can't pick open bowl. But this was in a variety trial, and when you pick a variety trial, there's differences between maturity, and you're going to pick it when it's best for the whole trial. I think if these varieties were planted on a field or a farm basis, that difference would probably be a much smaller. We looked at it. We looked at bowls by fruiting position out the plant. You can see down here. And by, again, by the main stem node section. This is bowls per fruiting position. This is percent of the total number of bowls. We've got over here, we've got on the first position, we had about 51% of our bowls landed on the first position. This was not different between varieties. On the second position, there was about 20% of bowls. This wasn't different between the varieties either. On the third position or higher, there's about 5% of the bowls. There was a little bit of difference, but you can see on the right and the right side of this table, but it was relatively minor, and that's only 5% of our bowl production. And we did have 24% of the bowls that we found were on vegetative branches. This is a little hairy to look at, but it kind of I just want you to look at it before we talk about it. This is first position bowl production. Bowls per acre. We've got bowls per acre and then main stem node going across the bottom. These different lines represent different varieties. If you can't see them, you may not be able to see which variety is which, but I just kind of wanted to show you how this thing laid out. We had most of our bowls in this area with some varieties. 555 was a little further out here. We may have some differences with these newer varieties in these sections. Let me go back. You see that line is our node zone. So when we're looking at it, you can kind of see where that's where we're breaking it up. And this is looking at it by node zone. So 5 through 8, 9 through 12, 13 through 16, and so forth. Like we talked about before, there were some differences lower in the plant. Lower in the plant, some of these newer varieties had more bowls than 555. There was some differences between some of these newer varieties. 0935 had more than 5458, and again, more than 555. As we get in the middle of the plant, there wasn't a whole lot of difference. When we move further up the plant, you can start to see that they trend the other way. There seems to be very little difference between some of these new varieties, but there may be something with 555. This is second position, so we're further out the plant. This is a little hairier data, which there were less bowls on the outside on the second position. But again, you can see that there may be some differences here, especially once we get to the top of the plant. Again, looking at it by node zone, this is on the second position, we can again see that there was relatively little difference between the new varieties. 555 was a little different. When we get a little higher in the plant, 9 through 12, there's not too much difference between those new varieties. When we get further up the plant, 375 and 555 had the most bowls, with the others having fewer. And when we get further up the plant, 555 starts to show out again. I kind of talked about how 555 was different, but this kind of shows you exactly what was different from 555. This table here shows these new varieties compared to 555. An equal means it had the same, a plus means it was more, a minus means it was less across these node zones. I've got the figure up here so we can kind of look at it together. But you can see with these new varieties, lower on the plant on the first position, there were more bowls than 555. When we got in the middle, there were similar numbers. And when we got on the outside, higher on the plant, we had more bowls from 555 than any of the varieties. The second position, we kind of see the same thing. Again, that's the second position graph here, and that same table where we had equal, less, or more bowls. You can see from about node 5 to node 13, they were about the same as 555, but again, when we got higher in the plant, there were more bowls from 555 than the other varieties. And on the third position, the same thing shows up. We've got equal bowl numbers lower in the plant, and as we get higher on the canopy, we have more bowls from 555. I waited to show cotton yield at the very end, but this is cotton yield from these locations. It's only four out of the five. One of them hadn't been calculated yet. you can see there's some differences. I don't want to point out the differences, but when you take all these trials and put them together, there was no difference in yield. The one thing I do want to point out is that the average yield was over 1,000 pounds. That's pretty good for dry land production in Georgia. And we had a good year in 2009. Even though we had a good year, we still saw differences in bulb distribution. And that may help us take some of this data, even in a year where we may not have a good indicator on what works dry land, we can look at these different bulb distributions and maybe make some kind of assumptions on what would work in those situations. So in conclusion, we've got good yielding varieties. A lot of them seem competitive with 555. These new varieties produce the same amount of bulls as 555. 555 in the past has produced more bulls than other varieties, and that gave it its yield edge. That's likely gone. As far as bowl distribution, they were similar going out the plant, but 555 put more on later, higher in the plant, and further out on the plant. And I've got it down here so we can see it. We got fewer bowls lower in the canopy, more bowls higher in the canopy. It was also taller and had more main stem nodes. We know these varieties are earlier, and I guess we're not really making new ground here saying if these varieties are earlier or later, but we're seeing where these bulls are produced, and that maybe if we do find a variety that does have a better bull distribution more similar to 555, that may be where we need to go. I don't know. The new varieties had a lower had a lower distribution lower on the plant, but that may be a good thing. Tennessee does well with that. That could be where we need to go. So I guess plant mapping may give us a tool to look at varieties when we do have this limited amount of time. It could show us trends that could say which varieties may do well dry land in a stressful environment, put bulls on later. And it may help us with PGR decisions and some other things. And the main thing with variety selection, the more data we have, the better. What we're thinking about doing in the future, we've got new varieties. There's more come out since we did this. Some of these are more vigorously growing. They may be more like 555. We also want to see how big a sample size we need to do. We did 30 feet a row, and that takes a long time. It took about an hour a plot per person or 2 hours a plot per person. So it's time consuming. We may need to do this in replicated tests at certain locations. So we'll say, well, this is a dry land location. This is what happened. This is an irrigated location. This is what happened. And we may need to see what planting date or PGR management plays a role in this different bowl distribution between the varieties. But with that, I'd like to thank the Georgia Cotton Commission and the county agents who did these trials that we did the work on, Scott Brown, Eddie McGriff, Peyton Sapp, and the cotton producers that did the trials. With that, y'all got any questions?
Do we have time for one or two questions?
Thank you. Oh, Corey. Yeah, I keep thinking about that when I see this. I mean, Georgia's been known to be late harvesting cotton for a numerous amount of reasons. If you do have bulls lower in the plant, they're going to be there longer. 555's given us time to get those bulls, and we can wait on those bulls to open up on the top of the plant. I think that might be part of it. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it, Jerry.